I want to talk to you this morning about evicting the uninvited, and I want to introduce this subject by telling you three simple stories to illustrate the point. The first story was told by Derek Prince, who I think was one of the greatest Bible teachers, who passed away in I think the early 2000s. But this was way back in 1994. He was with a group of intercessors waiting upon the Lord when suddenly his hands shot up in the air and he started jerking, and he was very embarrassed. I mean, he was, after all, Derek Prince, right? He started jerking, and he thought to himself, you know, what would people think? Then suddenly this idea came, this thought came, is this more important than what God wants to do? So he decided to yield himself without reservation, and those convulsive jerks lasted for a few minutes, and then his body went limp, and he knew immediately that he was delivered. And the Lord said to him, you've been delivered from a spirit of infirmity. And he was healed in the whole process. It was an amazing story. His wife, Ruth, was a Jew who had been exposed to humanistic elements of a culture and wondered if humanism could be a spirit. And when she renounced that spirit and commanded it to leave, she began to shake violently, and as soon as the spirit was cast out, she regained control of her body and began to worship God. And what surprised them both was that something so intellectual could produce such a physical, violent reaction. The third story is a personal one. This was in church camp in June. I was in my room. I was listening to a preacher preach on the internet, on social media. I was deeply convicted by the message, by the word. I went down on my knees in my room and I cried out to God and I said, Lord, set me free, Lord. Make me a clean man, Lord. And then I got up, went to my chair, rushed to the bathroom, and I threw out. I tell you, it wasn't my lunch that was coming out. And I experienced deliverance right there in the room. And I want to just say this to you, ladies and gentlemen. I share these stories to highlight to you that you cannot have the attitude that if I leave demons alone, they will leave me alone. Demons will not leave you alone. They're always searching for a kink in the armor to enter in. And the best protection that you have is to discover what the Word of God says and what the Word of God reveals about the nature and the activity of demons. And then you will be able to avail yourself to the protection that God has given to you in the name of Jesus and under the blood of the Lamb. Come on, somebody. Now, there are some broad lessons that I want to just share with you very briefly. I'm not an expert on demonology. This is not my field of expertise, but I want to just share some broad principles. Number one, an open door is how a demon gets in. Demons are like mosquitoes. They don't read signs. The moment they see a window open, a door open, they will come in. What opens the door of our hearts to demons? Sin. Sin opens the door of our hearts, but a stronghold is different. A stronghold is how he stays in. Strongholds are developed by the mind. Demons feed on negative thinking, and that's why we're called to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you will change the way you think, hallelujah, those demons eventually will have to pack up and leave, hallelujah, amen. The second thing is that demons are cast out. Jesus told us that whenever they manifest, we are to take authority and we are to cast them out in the name of Jesus. Amen. We are not to chase after demons. We're not to hunt after demons. We're not K-pop demon hunters. Hallelujah. Strongholds, on the other hand, are cast down. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, battle is here, ladies and gentlemen. It's in the mind. The third thing, the third question that we want to ask is, how are demons cast out? They are cast out in the name of Jesus. But strongholds cannot be cast out. They have to be cast down. Hallelujah. Now, it is the name of Jesus that we cast out demons, but it's by the word of God that breaks strongholds. Amen. Jeremiah 23 and 29 tells us that his word is like a hammer. Hallelujah. Come on. That smashes the rocks into pieces. Now, it's very important that demons are cast out and after they are cast out from people, that we start to disciple them, because they need to fill their minds with the principles of God's word and God's ways. If you don't fill the void, the demons that have been cast out will return, and when they do, they will bring others along with them, and the state of the man, according to Jesus, can be 7 times worse. Now, my text for today is Matthew chapter 12 and verses 43 to 45. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house. I want you to see the attitude of these demons. Since when was it his house, all right? It's your house, and you got to take authority in Jesus' name, amen. When he comes, he finds it empty, swept, put in order. Then he goes and takes with him 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state, watch this, of the man is worse than the first. So shall it be with this wicked generation. Now, when Jesus Christ walked on this earth, ladies and gentlemen, his ministry included preaching, teaching, healing the sick, and casting out devils. Now, the first three we see in the church today. There's a lot of preaching in this church. There's a lot of teaching in this church. And we pray for the sick every week in this church. But the one thing that we have not done and train our people is to do is the ministry of deliverance. And the ministry of deliverance cannot be delegated to a handful of specialized people in front. All the church, I believe that one of the signs of the believers that will is that we will that this sign will accompany those who believe in his name, that we will cast out demons. I'm convinced that we must all be trained in the ministry of deliverance, because there's coming a spike in demonic activity. I see it all around us. People are getting more and more lawless. They're getting more violent, more hostile, more immoral. And the truth is, much of this is demonically inspired. And we're being pushed to the place where if we don't press in for the supernatural power of God, we are going to be irrelevant, ladies and gentlemen. The devil is upping the ante, and the church must be stronger and greater. I tell you this, we cannot be part-time Christians and try to overcome a full-time devil. Come on, amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul says these words, but you know that in the last days, perilous times will come. Then he goes to list 18 things that would characterize the last days. Pretty grim stuff, but I want you to focus on the word perilous. It's an interesting word that appears only twice in the entire Bible, once in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and the other time it's used to describe the demoniac from the gatherings. So the word that is used is actually this phrase, exceedingly fierce. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 can be rephrased, but know this, that in the last days, exceedingly fierce times or demon-possessed times will come. So let's come to the story, because we see a powerful confrontation between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And the story is found in Mark's Gospel 5 and Luke chapter 8. But let's go over to Luke chapter 8, because Luke's Gospel gives us a bit more information that I think is important. The gatherings today is what we call the Golan Heights, and the name gathering means without control. All right, now watch this, because this is a fascinating story. Luke chapter 8, Jesus is on a boat with his disciples heading for the gatherings. And there is an assignment that was given to him by his father. Obviously, he knew what was waiting for him when he got there. The demoniac had a legion of demons in him, and Satan, through this man, had control over the entire geographical area. Trade and commerce came to a standstill because of fear. The demoniac lived in graveyards, and no one could restrain him, not even with chains. Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, please, can you imagine how paralyzing it was to live in that area? You wouldn't walk on that road. You would be bound, I'm telling you, with fear. I mean, who would dare travel on those roads? So Jesus is on his father's assignment to deliver the people of Gadarene by confronting and dealing with this demoniac. And in the early writings of the church, they recognized that this demoniac was a spirit of a Nephilim. And so Jesus made his way there with his disciples, and a storm arose. A storm arose. Now, these disciples were seasoned fishermen, and they had been through many violent storms. But this storm made them very afraid, because it was not just a violent storm. It was unnatural. And this is the only time in the scripture where we see a storm inspired by Satan. Why? Because he knew that Jesus was on his way to break a stronghold. And so you all know the story. The Lord was fast asleep in the bottom of the boat. Disciples woke him up. Lord, don't you care that we perish? And he gets up to the bow of the boat, and he points his finger. Oh, hallelujah. He points his finger to the storm, and he says, peace, be still. And the entire storm, the unnatural storm simmered down to a whisper, a whimper, and the disciples were shocked. Now, how do I know the storm was from the devil? Because Jesus rebuked it. He would not have rebuked it if it was from the Father. Amen? And so the devil was trying to do everything to drown Jesus in the Lake of Galilee to prevent him from going to and arriving at the gatherings. Now, having Jesus in your boat does not mean that you will not face the storm, but it does mean that your boat is unsinkable. Come on. Amen? Now, in the moment Jesus gets out of the boat, the demoniac comes to him and confronts him. We have a description of him in the Bible. Naked, lived in the tombs, and he had those demons for a long time. And the chains that they used to bind him were useless. I mean, he would have just as easily snapped them as he would a twig. So Jesus commanded the demons to come out of that man. And they resisted him. They pleaded with Jesus. They said, Lord, don't send us to the abyss. Don't send us to hell. The hell was such an awful place that even the demons didn't want to go there. So Jesus said, what's your name? The demoniac says, Legion, for we are many. Now, on a side note, listen to this. We are legion. Legion is my name. We are many. And on a side note, demons often refers to them by the following pronouns. They, them, we, us. You're a tough out crowd to impress. And, did I tell you the story about the man lifting up his wife? Did you hear that one? How many of you heard that one? You didn't hear that one. This is because this is a men's meeting coming up. And this man, came back from church, and he grabs his wife and he lifts his wife, and the wife was so happy and she was giggling and she was so happy. She said, oh my goodness, what did the pastor say today? What did the pastor teach y'all? He said, when I come home, I should lift my problems up to the Lord, Helen. All right, coming back to this demoniac. A Roman legion consists of about 4,200 soldiers to about 5,500 soldiers. So there were a lot of demons in this guy. They knew that they wouldn't be able to fend off Jesus, so they tried to bargain with him. They saw a herd of swine feeding on the mountain, begged Jesus that they may enter the swine. Jesus permitted them to do so, rushed into the swine. The pigs became mad, ran over a cliff, drowned, and perished, right? The next thing we see is this demoniac, totally healed, sound mind, sitting, clothed, and talking to Jesus. And it was amazing, right? One of the great stories in the Bible. Now, one of the things that we have to contend for, ladies and gentlemen, in the last days are demons. We can no longer put our heads in the sand. And there's an increasingly manifestation of demons. And instead of exercising true discernment, we've oftentimes accepted what the medical science have said. Now, please hear me. I don't want to offend anybody. I love medicine. I there was a time in my life, there was a season for about maybe a year or 2 years that I said to people, you should not be taking medicine. You should trust the Lord for your healing. I believe that. I believe in the power of Jesus to heal. I was so zealous for his name. And the Lord had to deal with my heart about this. I preached this wherever I went, preaching about the fact that you needed faith and you don't need medicine and you need to trust the Lord and for healing. I was so passionate about the power of God. And the Lord had to correct some of my doctrine. You know, it says that the Bible says that a merry heart doeth good like medicine, right? But you know what it actually means? It says a merry heart makes medicine better. So now when I take my pills, I rejoice. Hallelujah. Well, I'm telling you, it makes medicine better. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Lord had to change my heart about this. the chase. So I just want to say to the doctors, we love all the doctors in the house of God. Amen. But I also want to say that medical science has interesting names to label people with demonic problems. And they've tried to convince us that most of these cases are mental, psychological, maybe a chemical imbalance. But the truth is that many of these people are bound by the devil. And we must be ready to deal with mentally unsound people and not relegate this to some psychological malady. All right? I just want to say this. That means if your child is, say, autistic, trust and pray. Don't accept this as a medical condition. Pray that God will set him free. Amen. Don't admit defeat in the name of Jesus. Because the moment you say, well, it's a medical problem, I can't do anything about it, you know, I've got to live like this for the rest of my life, you've lost the battle. Trust in Jesus and start praying in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, the last time I took a bus was about 20 years. I just want to, I'm embarrassed to say this, right? But the last time I took a bus, I was at the last row of the bus, and a man got up on the bus, and he was looking a little bit strange, and I knew it was a demon in the man. So I said under my breath, very quietly, at the back of the bus, this is what I said. I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I bind that spirit that is in that man, and I command it to come out. And the demon started manifesting in that man and in the bus. He started manifesting, but my bus stop was the next one. I had to come down. And I left the demon-possessed man in the bus, and he tormented everybody in the bus. And I felt so embarrassed. I apologized to the Lord. I said, Lord, I should have dealt with the problem. But I'm telling you, Jesus has given us authority over every power of the enemy. My first experience of deliverance was when I was served as the full gospel in the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. In a home meeting, a man manifested demons. It took 5 grown men to pin him down to the ground. And after 4 grueling hours praying, finally all the demons left the man. Several months later, I saw the man serving happily and joyfully in the house of God, still free in Jesus' name. Over the years, we've had several people in the church who had displayed demonic manifestations, and we dealt with them. Probably the worst case was a young lady who had been exposed to some drugs and had some serious demonic issues that opened up in her life to a host of demons, and she was uncontrollable, vulgar. I never heard a lady so vulgar. And a church stood with the parents to try and cast the demon out. We got members of the church to stay with the family because she would jump off the window and run out of the streets. And the next thing we know, we'd find her in, the police would call us and they would find her in some, in the city or something like that. And, we would stand by with the stand and with the family. And this went on for about a month. And if my memory serves me correct, but I will never forget one day, the mother came to me and she said, Pastor, the Lord gave me a word and said, tomorrow your daughter will be healed, will be set free. And the word of the Lord came to pass. The next day, the daughter just completely in Jesus' name got set free. And as far as I know, she's still free today. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, demons are constantly seeking to invade and indwell human bodies. The word that's commonly used is demon possession. And it's not the right word. The word in the Greek is a better word translated demonized. All right. And so possession suggests ownership. So in a sense, Christians cannot be possessed, but Christians can be demonized, which means there's some area in their lives that are not surrendered, are still in the bondage and influence of the demonic. Now, demons are trespassers. A trespasser is someone who unlawfully encroaches on a property of another, and they will continue this unlawful encroachment until they are confronted and challenged. They are uninvited, so they must be evicted in the name of Jesus. Amen. You got to put a no vacancy sign upon your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, one of the mistakes that we often make is we equate warfare with prayer. In other words, when casting out demons, I think, now this is my personal opinion, it's incorrect for us to say, Lord, we ask you to cast out this demon. He will not do it. Why? Because he has delegated that authority to us. So it's pointless for us to direct our prayer to God in deliverance. We must command demons to leave, because all authority has been given to us in the name of Jesus. Amen. I heard a preacher say, this earth does not respond to prayer. What does he mean by that? This earth, what he means is this earth must be spoken to. You have to say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. You got to say to that cancer, be gone in Jesus' name. I tell you this, now you might not agree with me, and there are doctors here, and I'm sure that they are, you know, they're smart, far smarter than me, but I'm telling you this, I believe that cancer is a spirit that needs to be dislodged from the body. In the name of Jesus. So when you're dealing with cancer, you got to see it as a spirit, and you must say to that cancer, you spirit of cancer, I command you to leave that body in the name of Jesus. Amen. I command every cancer cell to die and to shrivel up and die in the name of Jesus. You will not metastasize in the name of Jesus. Amen. Some of you have been pleading with God, and he says, don't pray to me about this. Speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain. You got to say to the mountain in Mark chapter 11 and verse 23, therefore, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes the things that he says will come to pass, he will have what he says. You got to say, the problem is not in our believing, it's in our saying. You got to say it, hallelujah. You got to say to that person that is demon-possessed, I command that spirit to leave right now in Jesus' name. God has not just given us the authority, he's also given us the power in case our authority is challenged. When the policeman, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. When a policeman leaves his home every morning, he puts on his badge, he puts on his uniform, and he puts on his taser and his weapon. I've got his picture of this right here. This is not a advertisement for the police force, all right? His badge and his uniform are symbols of authority, but his revolver or taser is his power. So when a person sees the uniform, they ought to respect it. They ought to respect it, amen? But when somebody challenges that authority, the policeman can whip out his revolver or taser and back his power, hallelujah, amen. Now, if that is not enough, he radios in, and soon a squad car or police will come and quell whatever opposition. That's the ministry altar workers, hallelujah, amen. Now, the authority that Jesus gives to us is our badge and our uniform, but the power he has given to us is the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. And I say this to you, my friends, there is no power greater than the power of the Holy Ghost, amen. And God is waiting for the church to get a revelation of what he has already given us. Now, I just want to take this to a landing by saying that in Matthew 12, that when a demon is expelled from the house, he goes through dry places. He wants to seek rest and finds none. And he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And I want you to read this carefully. He says to himself, I will return to my house. Since when was it ever his house, right? He's a trespasser. He's an illegal alien. You are not his house, amen. But he treats it like that you are his house, because for some reason, people have given the demons a legal right to trespass. There's always some little kink in the armor, a tiny pinhole, a breach that he is searching for. The word for devil is diabolos or diabolos, and the word diablo means a cross. And what it means is the devil is always scanning to see if there's some penetration point where he can take advantage of, and he can only enter if there is a loophole. Amen. I want to take this to a landing by looking at that scripture in Isaiah 61. In the first three verses, we have something called the Great Jubilee Anointing. Woo! It's coming. Hallelujah. And the anointing was upon Jesus in its fullness. The second part of verse 1 says, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. I used to read this verse, and I used to think to myself that there's some kind of a redundancy. Aren't captives and prisoners the same thing? And then I discovered that they are two very different things. Prisoners are in prison for what they have done, but captives are in prison because of what's done to them. The key for the prisoner's release is repentance. They need to repent. But the key to setting captives free is deliverance. They need to be delivered from their bondage. Now, captives are bound because of what they've been done to them, whether it's a result of bitterness and anger and lust and unforgiveness, and they need to be free. Someone has to come, bam, open the prison door and proclaim liberty to the captives. And that's how the enemy controls us, by fear, by intimidation, by trauma, and by abuse. You know, the demons, they like waterless places. They like to hang out in churches that are dry, that have a lot of philosophical arguments and sermons. We need to be a church full of the river of God. Amen. Amen. We want to be a place full of the rain of the Holy Ghost. I can tell you this. They just love dry places, but we want to be full and wet with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I want to just also end by saying that the Holy Spirit that we love is not a seeker-sensitive Holy Spirit. Amen? He is not a nice Holy Spirit. He's not Casper, the friendly ghost. He is the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos. Amen? And He has come to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Amen. I want to close by, I know that this is the third time I said that, but how do demons enter in, right? Very quickly, number one, they enter in by the door of sin. Okay, when there's sin in your life, the door is always open and the enemy can come in, all right? So you got to deal that, close the door, and to close that door, you got to repent. There was a couple in the Bible, Ananias and Sapphira. Do you know what they did? They were in the room and they said to one to another, is there a way we can cheat the Holy Spirit? Is there a way we can hide from Him? They conspired against the Holy Spirit and dropped dead in the church. Come on, hallelujah. So we got to deal with sin. The second door is the door of unforgiveness. And in Matthew 18, Jesus talked about a parable of a king who forgave a steward a huge debt. And he went out and he persecuted a man who owed him a small debt. And then the Lord said to bring the man in and send him to prison to be tormented by the tormentors. Who are they? The demons. The demons are given to torment the man because he refused to forgive. So my friends, if you have unforgiveness today, you better deal with the problem, my friends, because you don't want the tormentors to come. The third one, and I close with this, is the door of trauma. Some time ago, maybe a year ago, I was sitting with a group of people from my staff, and we were just talking and we were having great fun, suddenly, just one of them opened up and said, you know, when I was young, I got abused sexually. Everybody was shocked. But her courage to share led to the second staff who said, you know, I also got abused when I was young. Oh, my goodness. The third staff said, you know, when I was young, I also got abused. I think there were five of us there. Out of five, four of them were abused in one way or another. And, you know, sometimes when you're abused, it can lead to a bit of a trauma. And the trauma could be a door to open for the enemy to come in. Got to close that door and let God heal you in Jesus' name. Amen. No matter what the problem is, you forgive, you move on, God will heal you and He will deal with the problem. You lift it up to the Lord because He is a God of justice. Let's all stand in the presence of God today. I want to just pray for you in Jesus' name. We had a powerful time in our first service. Many people came up and there was a deliverance. I can tell you these people were being set free. And I want you to be free. Amen. That's really what I want you to be free in Jesus' name. Whatever is binding you, and maybe it could be financial things. So there's some people, no matter what they do, they keep on being broke, all right? It's like a spirit over their lives. It's a generational curse, and that needs to be broken in the name of Jesus. And some of you here, it's a physical thing. It's healing. You need healing. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know that I have still a problem with the nerves. Every morning, I'm telling you, every morning I have communion, and I'm claiming my healing. I don't care what the doctor says. I am going to be healed. I tell you this. I am going to be healed. Every morning, I lift my hands and said, Lord, you know my hands. I command my hands to be healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, you will be healed. You will conform to the knowledge of Christ. You will be healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, my friends, I'm telling you this. I have the victory in Jesus' name. Amen. I have the victory in Jesus' name. There is joy in my heart. That's the victory. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage you to keep on believing for your healing. Speak to that that healing. Even if you have a cancer, speak to that cancer like it's a spirit. I command that cancer to go. If you are sick, come on, speak to that and say in the name of Jesus, be healed. Amen. The earth does not respond to prayer, but it responds to command. Tell her, you got to speak to it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Your body is made of earth, right? It's made of dust. And to dust we came from, we will go back. You got to speak to your body and say in the name of Jesus, be healed. Hallelujah. Oh, Rababa, Janta, Rababa. I want to just say that there are some people here today that many of your problems that you have are connected with a demonic thing and that's oppressing you and harassing you. And you need to shut that door in Jesus' name. And you need to be released and healed. Hallelujah. Now, how many of you here in this room today, you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm struggling in one of these areas. Just lift up your hands right now. Come on, just lift up your hands. Just lift up your hands. Yes, all over this place. If your hands are raised, come down to the front, please. Come to the front. I want to pray for you today. The team is here. All the pastors are here. We're going to pray for you. And we're going to believe that Jesus Christ is going to set you free. Hallelujah. You've got to put that no vacancy sign. Come on. You just come to the front. And you just believe that the Lord is going to do a mighty work in your life. Come on, Shia-ra-ba-ba-ba. You just come, my friends. Don't let shame bind you. Don't be chained by shame. Hallelujah. You got to come. The moment I said, Lord, I want to be free, I got set free by the power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus, karababa, shokaraba. If you're sick, if you have a long-standing sickness, come to the front. If you have cancer, come to the front. If you have cancer, come to the front. He's going to break chains today. Hallelujah. The chain breaker is here. Hallelujah. Oh, sharabarabarababa shuri. Oh, shibarababa surababa. There is power in the name of Jesus. Shirabarababa shurababa. Break every chain. Oh, the chain breaker is here today. Hallelujah. The chain breaker is here today. My friends, you come. You come. If there is a need, you come. If there is a need for healing, you come today. You're going to be healed. Break every chain. Break every chain. Now, in a few moments, we're going to pray. I want to tell you this right now by faith. The chain breaker is here today. Our Lord Jesus Christ. And by His name, we are going to pray and for deliverance to happen in this place. I want you just to relax. Amen. Just relax and let me do the praying for you. Let me do the praying for you today. Let us war on your behalf right now. Let us fight on your behalf right now. We're here as an army to stand with you in the name of Jesus. I am going to command all these spirits to leave. Hallelujah. Oh, Rababashan. I feel the Holy Ghost moving in this place right now. I'm going to command every spirit to leave. Hallelujah. And I'm going to break every power of the enemy, break every stronghold in our mind. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. They have to be cast down, cast down, cast down. Demons are cast out, but strongholds are cast down. So close your eyes, take a deep breath, relax. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these precious men and women that stand here. I thank you that you are the bondage breaker. You are the chain breaker. And you have come, Lord, to set your people free. And I thank you that you have given us authority on earth, Lord, because the authority has been won in heaven. You have given us the authority on earth to break every chain, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and to break every bondage, and to break every power and every stronghold of the enemy, Lord. Every demonized person is going to be set free by the name of Jesus. Right now, I plead your blood over this house. I pray for the blood of Jesus to cover us, Lord, over this house right now, even as we come against the power of Satan in these people. So, Lord, right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind every power of the enemy, and I command you, Satan, I command every demonic power to leave in the name of Jesus. Be gone! right now. Be gone right now. Be gone right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray right now for the healing power of the Holy Spirit to flow in this place. I'm going to ask Pastor Jeff. Jeff, would you just come? I want Brother Jeff has such an anointing for deliverance, and I want him to pray over you right now.
Can we all lift our hands? In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Cancer, we just release healing right now in the name of Jesus. We break every curse of cancer in Jesus' name. You have no place in the child of God. So in Jesus' name, we command every foul and clean spirit to leave right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, press in. Press in. Press in. He is here. Power of the Spirit. Power of the Holy Spirit. He is a chain breaker. He is the deliverer. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So Lord, we thank you, Lord, that when you arise, your enemies are scattered. So in Jesus' name, we break every generation curse right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Every chain of events, every terminal disease that passed through your family, especially blood pressure problem, Lord, we break it right now in Jesus' name. Do not accept the fact that you say your father have it, so therefore I have it. My mother have cancer, so therefore I have cancer. We refuse it in the name of Jesus, because you are setting the captives free, because you are faithful to a thousand generations. So Lord, we thank you, Lord. Whoever is in Christ is a new creation. So we declare freedom right now over every man, woman and child who has their hands lifted. In Jesus' name, we break every generation curse and every sickness. It ends in this generation in Jesus' name. And no more, and we say no more in Jesus' name. No more, and we say no more depression. No more mood swings in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, there is power. There is power. There is power. There is power in the name. Come on, sing it out. Sing it out as a declaration in the Jesus' name. Let the power of the Holy Spirit touch right now in the name of Jesus. Power of the Holy Spirit. Power of the Holy Spirit touch right now in the name of Jesus. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break it. Shout it out. Sing it out. Sing it out as a declaration. Break every chain, break every chain, break it, break it, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, come on, break it in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power, come on. Holy Spirit touch. He is restoring families. He is restoring families. Let the power of the Holy Spirit touch. Jesus, 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 the sound of your name. Break it in Jesus' name. Come on, break it in Jesus' name. Break it in Jesus' name. Jesus. Now some of you, you feel like the front has too little room. Lift our hands. Lift our hands. You need to understand the name of Jesus is a spiritual name, not a physical name. It's not about how loud you shout, it's not about the decibel, it's because it's a spiritual name, it transcends distance. So let's lift our hands right now. For those of you who didn't make, I know some of you wanted to make it down, but you couldn't, but just lift our hands. Let's lift our hands. In the name of Jesus, we declare freedom over Cornerstone right now in Jesus' name. We declare freedom over this congregation. Satan, you have no place in our life, and you have no place in our family. That as we walk out of this room, we are free people. We are free in you. And whoever is in Christ is a new creation. So Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we are bringing this
and we are declaring freedom over our families, over our relatives, and over our life right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we receive that breakthrough right now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, it is time. It is time, Lord. It is time, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We're going to close the meeting in a few moments, but those of you here in front, you just stay as long as you like. We want to pray with you, minister to you. I'm going to ask Pastor Daphne just to come and just pray. Pastor Daphne, your turn. Just pray. Closing prayer.
Amen. Can we lift our hands to the Father? Hallelujah. Do you believe? Do you believe in the Son of God? He is the only way to the Father. There is only one God, and we believe in the Son. We believe in the blood that was shed. We believe in the life that He led. There is only one who gives us life and life more abundantly, and His name is Jesus, the Son of God. And Father, today we live, Lord, Your Son Jesus, that Lord, He is glorified, He is magnified, Lord, in our midst, Lord. We thank You for the power that is in His blood, the blood that is effective, Lord, for the outworking, Lord, of our salvation. We thank You, Lord, for the Word, that our lives are established on the Word that walks amongst us, Lord, that walks with us, oh God, daily. And on that very Word, oh God, we live by. So, Father, as Your people are released, oh God, not only are they released, Father, to pursue You, we thank You for power in Jesus' name to walk victorious. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the blessings of the Holy Spirit be upon you. And that you would walk victorious every day, knowing you know the Son of God. That is so important. You know the Son of God, and you are co-heirs with the Son because you have the same Father. It is through the Son the Father is revealed. So bless your people, I pray today in Jesus' name. And everyone says, come on, hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Just listen to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.